The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Thanks be to you, Lord Jesus Christ, most merciful Redeemer, for the countless blessings and benefits you give. May we know you more clearly, love you more dearly, and follow you more nearly, day by day praising you with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
There we go. Well, I don't know if some of you have one of these yet, but who here has a cell phone? Do you have a cell phone? Anybody else have a cell phone? Okay. You got a cell phone? Anybody else have a cell phone? Anybody else have a phone at home? All right, there's a phone back there. Everybody has a phone? Okay. So sometimes you get calls from people that you're not sure what their number is. You don't know why they're calling you. Have you ever gotten a call by that before? Yeah, like business people. Who's gotten calls like that before? That's right. So you don't really want to go. It's not a desired call.
Hello, welcome.
So you have a cell phone, I imagine, right? All right. Well, when you get those calls, do you usually hang up on them or do you stay on the call?
Hang up.
You usually hang up, right?
I don't even pick up in the first place.
Hey, that's smart. So when you don't know it, you don't pick up. What if God was calling you? You'd pick up?
I still wouldn't pick up.
You still wouldn't pick up? Well, God would keep calling then, I bet. It would annoy you. How would you know if it was God calling? Maybe a special ringtone. He wouldn't use a phone, perhaps? What's one way? It would show up on the TV. It would say, God calling. That's great. That's great. Well, today we're going to hear about Eli, who got called by God, and he didn't know God was calling him either.
Jerusalem?
Well, God knows all times and places.
So he brought him like a
phone from
the future, so that's our phone.
Maybe he called him in a different way. Maybe he didn't call him on a phone.
Maybe
but you'll hear more about that. Well, if you were in the 80s, you had a brick phone, so you probably know about that. Well, you'll hear all about Eli today in Sunday school and how he was called. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we give thanks for the ways that you call us through baptism. We give thanks for the ways that you call us to new life in Christ and call us to service to our neighbor. Grant that we may have all we need for the road ahead and for us to hear your voice when you call us. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, would you like to take this from this school?
Red, brown, yellow, black, and white.
The first reading is a reading from 1 Samuel. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, Samuel. And he said, Here I am, and ran to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. But he said, I did not call, lie down again. So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, Samuel. Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. But he said, I did not call you, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there calling as before, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, Speak, for your servant is listening. Word of God, word of life. Second reading from 1 Corinthians. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are beneficial. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both one and the other. The body is meant not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord, and will also raise us by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Should I therefore take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that whatever is united to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For it is said, the two shall be one flesh. But anyone united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Shun fornication. Every sin that a person commits is outside the body. But the fornicator sins against the body itself. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body. Word of God, word of life.
Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, Follow me. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? Well, you will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
A lot of call in this these lessons that we heard today. Samuel heard a call and he ran to Eli, his mentor, his guardian, his teacher, and Eli told him how to respond. If you hear a call from God, this is what you do. You listen. Listen to what God has to say. The story goes on. If we would read the next verses and the next chapters, that call of Samuel led him to not only listen to God, but then respond to God in truth-telling and action. And then our gospel story, Philip heard the call, and he ran to his friend Nathanael. Now that friend Nathanael's got kind of a smart mouth on him, and he makes a rather snarky response. But then he went to Jesus, invited by Philip to come and see. He went to Jesus, and he heard a call on his own. The church members that were just standing here, installed as your congregation council this morning, are responding to a call. We all have been called. We can all tell a story about being called by God. Your presence here shows that in some way, that you have responded to a call from God. At our baptism, and every time we remember our baptism, we remember God's promise to us. We hear that call. That call, that invitation, and we are invited to be truth tellers and doers of God's word. Last spring, I was a part of a panel at San Diego State. The conference title was "She Was Warned," and there were 10 presenters who told the story of being a woman who was warned against pursuing a particular path or promoting a particular idea. Well, my paper ended up being the story of my call to ministry. Last Wednesday, when we were having our communion service, it came to me that I have never shared this story with this congregation. And as our scripture lessons today call us, invite us to reflect on our call, I thought this might be a good time for me to share this paper that I read, that I wrote last spring. So here goes. My call to ministry came very early in my life, and with that call came warnings. I was born an at-risk preemie, and the attending nurse at that Catholic hospital baptized me right away, only seconds old. And I heard that story all through my life, over and over again. You didn't live even 1 minute without being baptized. God must have something very special in mind for you. So I watched and I listened to what might that special thing be. Well, the most special thing I saw as a child was the priest saying Mass and serving communion, sharing Jesus with others. And by the time I was old enough to reason, I knew that indeed God had something special for me to do. I was called to be a priest, to be a parish pastor, and to share Jesus and the good news of Jesus with others. Do you remember those Necco wafers? That candy that comes in a little roll and it's all different colors, lots of pieces, lots of different colors and flavors. That was a favorite kind of candy because there were so many pieces to it. I would trade with my friends and my siblings. I would trade all the colored ones and for the white ones and for the pale yellow ones until I had a pretty good stash. And then we would play church, and I would use those Necco wafers for the host, for the wafers. And my siblings were happy to play church. They really liked communion. Whenever I was asked as a little child, what do you want to be when you grow up? I would always be warned, you got to change your dream. Only boys can be priests. You can't be a parish pastor. All through my life, my early childhood. Well, my next warning came when I was in my third year in college. I was a theology major. There was only one other woman in the program. She was heading to be an academic theology teacher. The rest of the theology majors were all guys heading to the seminary. I had joined a convent right out of high school. Since I couldn't be a priest, I figured being a nun might be my pathway into parish ministry. My faculty advisor at college knew church better than my naive 20-year-old self, and I was warned, get a teaching degree so at least you'll be employable. That's the only career for a woman in the church. So I added an education major to my degree. But times were changing in the church, and I did get a church job with half-time teaching. But at least I was working in a congregation. Then I went to grad school, and I studied liturgy and pastoral ministry. I guess I just never learned. My theological education and my pastoral experience, though, caught the attention of the bishop, and I was offered a job as a full-time pastoral associate. Although there was a senior pastor, and I was never allowed in the pulpit on a Sunday, and I was absolutely never allowed behind the altar, I was doing pastoral work. Then in the early, mid-80s, I was invited by the bishop to join a newly forming team ministry that was in the rural part of South Dakota. I wasn't sure I could leave the city and live in a rural area. The town that I moved to had 600 people. There's more than that in my neighboring an apartment complex, I'm pretty sure. This was an experimental program that was supposed to help, it was to solve the problem of the shortage of priests. So I moved into the parsonage that was attached to the church, and I was named pastoral administrator for a two-point parish. And I was warned, don't look too priestly in this work. I was given permission to preach, but with the caveat that I could not preach more often than the visiting priests who would come to do communion on a regular basis. And I was warned also to always defer to those other priests, because they were really the boss. And I was never to refer to myself as a pastor. And I was told by the bishop, you aren't ordained, you won't be ordained, but you can be an assistant. Well, I did that work for 15 years, and I loved it. I loved that work. I was loved and respected by the church members and by the priests that I worked with. I was doing some diocesan work as well for the marriage tribunal, for in education areas, and also in liturgy and architecture. Then we got a new bishop. And the new bishop was not at all interested in having women be in pastoral positions. There were three of us in the diocese. The other two retired at that point. And about that same time, the Pope in Rome wrote a letter to the bishops of the world. The title of the letter is this: Concerning the collaboration of the non-ordained faithful in the sacred ministry of the priest. That was August 15th in 1997. Well, so much for the priesthood of all believers. That letter, all 32 pages of that letter, could be summed up in one sentence. Collaboration? No, thank you. There is to be none. I was called in by the bishop. I had a good reputation in the diocese, and I was working, I had been in the diocese my whole life. The bishop said that he respected my work, and he wanted to offer me a new job. Any job. He would give me, you know, be the director of education, be the director of liturgy, be, you know, come and be my social administrator, anything, but you cannot be in the parish. I was warned. Parish ministry is only for the ordained. You're not ordained, you won't be ordained. You need a new job. The windows in the Catholic Church were closing, and I couldn't breathe. My colleagues in the Lutheran Church kept inviting me, join us, join us. I wrote a letter to the Pope asking to be released from my vows that I made as a nun so that I could go to the Lutheran Seminary. From my earliest memories, even before Necco wafers, I knew that the something that God wanted me to do was to live out my baptism by being ordained and being a parish pastor. Well, that was not a very compelling argument for the Pope. He was not moved. They responded to my request. They wrote a letter, well, not to me. The letter went to the bishop and to the president of my convent, my congregation, and they were told that I was not to be allowed to resign. They were to banish me. You can't quit. You're fired. So I'd asked for an indult, which means a permission. I'd asked Rome for an indult, but what I ended up with was an excommunication. My convent sisters, and this makes me cry, they really cried when they had to obey this letter from Rome. We tried to figure out a way around it. We went to canon lawyers, to church lawyers, to try to figure out how we could do this. But to no avail. So just like Martin Luther, I didn't mean to get kicked out. I only wanted to do what I knew that my baptism called me to do. I knew I was to be a parish pastor. Rome warned me. Attending a Lutheran seminary with a goal for ordination would result in excommunication. So I was officially kicked out of the Lutheran, out of the Roman Catholic Church. The letter stated my crime. She has notoriously abandoned her faith. I still take objection to that. First of all, in order to be notorious, you have to be famous. Who the heck is Karen LaFalle? I'm not notorious. Yes, that's what they said. So I was notorious. And I didn't abandon anything, especially my faith. But Rome had spoken. So I was out the door of the Roman Catholic Church, but into the welcoming arms of the Lutheran Church. I completed seminary and was ordained and called to St. Peter's 15 years ago this spring. The warnings, as I look back, the warnings that I got were stepping stones, not roadblocks. I am living out my baptism. I'm doing what I believe God has called and gifted me to do. A couple years ago, I had a moment that I felt I'd come full circle. The Conference of Bishops of the ELCA had their annual conference in January here in San Diego. I think this was 6 years ago. The Roman Catholic Diocese had graciously offered to let that beautiful mission basilica be used for the bishop's Epiphany Day worship service. I was invited to be the presider at that communion service. There I was in full vestments. They brought them from Chicago. I was wearing this beautiful red chasuble. Standing behind the altar in a Roman Catholic church, leading 65 Lutheran bishops and their spouses in prayer, sharing not Necco wafers, but Jesus, sharing the bread and wine in Holy Communion. I am an ordained woman, answering God's call as a parish pastor in the one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, sharing Jesus with all of you. And I thank God every day for that call and for you.